Hi, Takeover Me Dearest.
Hi, I'm Kai, aka Adi.
And welcome to Thought Digest, where we
amplify conversations
one thought at a time. Welcome.
A long time coming, guys. We know the person in the middle is a long time.
Like March is filled with guests, actually.
Yes.
We love this month of March and guests, but let me introduce our guests. So we have Unako. How do you pronounce your surname?
It's Mohammed. Yeah, it's kind of strange, I know.
I'm not going to say what I was thinking.
But I am fully Xhosa.
And it's Mohammed.
Yeah, it's Mohammed. Yeah, the lineage is crazy.
Oh, okay.
Great, great, great father was Indian. Yeah, it's a lot,
okay.
But I'm doing Xhosa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we have Unako Mohammed.
Yes.
He's a preacher.
Yeah.
Why are you scared to say that?
Yeah,
he's a preacher.
Yeah.
He's a preacher. He has a YouTube channel with his I don't know what to call co-preacher.
He's just my brother. Okay. You know, we're in ministry together. We minister, and that's what we do. You know, we just I think we share the same faith, obviously, and we've gone through similar experiences in this faith. So we, on the strength of what we've experienced, we share it with the world, and that's all we are.
They have a whole YouTube channel there. They have a whole TikTok lives on Tuesday,
compared
right?
Compared to what you guys are doing here, man, we feel like we haven't started. Look at, you see, I haven't reached the point with my boy where we're like,
we have an intro.
Intro. Yeah.
You'll get into the swing of things.
No, you'll get there. But what I do want to say is you guys have a lot of influence. And that's how I found you guys, through your influence. Like, literally, I had a friend who was like, oh my God, these guys, we're not going to know you. I'm like, who are those guys? And then, and that was last year, actually. Yeah, it was last year.
She sends a message to us saying, hey, and this was last year, hey, gotta have
look, look who I found. It was last year, but we couldn't get you here. So it was last year, and I saw, and then I started watching your stuff, and I started consuming your guys' stuff. I followed you a long time ago. You know, you only followed me back.
Oh, please.
Two days ago.
Come on.
I'm the way she's been snitching on you.
And you know what's the crazy thing? The moment he followed me back, I was like, hey!
Come through!
And then he's like, yo, you didn't waste time.
And conveniently, I was this side, you know.
Conveniently, he was coming this side like in 2 days. I was like, look at, this is a God thing.
Yeah, it really was. It really was. I can't wait for March because we're coming back. I'm inviting myself back. And my bro, you know.
So we can see your guys' dynamic in person.
Definitely. Yeah. You see what you guys have? You're going to experience that with him and I.
I'm so excited. Can you please tell us more about yourself? Because I only know what you've shown us on social media.
Yeah.
So who are you?
I struggle with this question because you never really know where to start. But I think we'll tackle a lot of the things as we go.
Yes.
But in not so many words, Unako Mohammed, from a very small town, King Williamstown, near East London, as I've shared. Mm-hmm. And my life was just like any other typical guy's life, you know what I mean? Lived in the world, grew up in church, very important, you know. I know church traditions. My parents are pastors.
Yeah.
So I grew up, I know church. Backslid, tough, dark season that was. By God's mercy, rededicated my life. And, you know, the journey began. And I never thought I'd be public about it. I never thought I'd be a preacher. Hence, I'm like, am I a preacher? Oh, maybe
you
I am.
You are. Like, you literally came to Joburg to preach.
Literally. But so I struggled with that because it was never about that. You know, it was never about going to places and sharing on social media. You know, it was really about, Lord, I am in a desperate position. I need your help. And on the strength of what he gave me, which is mercy and grace, I started like, no, man. This is the way. And I was like, I want it for everybody else. Mm-hmm. For all the men, for all the women out there, for all the young people out there. Mm-hmm. I want them to experience what I have experienced. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's the essence of the journey that I'm in. So in not so many words, that's what I'm about.
Look at what God has done for you. Can you believe that?
It's in a very short space of time as well. And I do think it's like mercy, like in grace, like literally, guys, I kid you not, it was about me saying, Lord, I want you. I'm going to pursue you fully with no reservations. And I'm just going to give you. And then on the strength of that pursuit, he was like, okay, I'm going to add this.
And I'm going to give you I'm going to put you there.
I'm going to make you, I'm going to make you meet these two wonderful ladies here doing an amazing job,
thank
you know?
You.
So it's like, yeah, God is such a, it's, he's so cool, man. He's
wonderful orchestrator.
Yeah, he orchestrates things divinely without you having to look, without you having to necessarily hustle for those things.
Yeah.
You know, because there's that also in, yeah, in the culture of, yeah, you know, you got to get it, but... Mm. He just does it, man. Seek ye first the
kingdom.
You guys know. You guys are preachers, so I don't
know. We are not
added, you know. So that's the essence, man. That's the essence. Now I want to know about y'all. So don't make this about me.
Okay, so the first part of our podcast is always a life update.
Cool.
And we just, you know, share where we're at the moment, mentally, spiritually,
yeah,
sure, all of that. Who wants to go first?
Let me start. Cool. Yes. Yeah, let me start. Because I'm excited for your life update.
Excited.
I'm scared.
Yes, that's the word.
I'm scared.
That is the word.
Okay, my life update. How has this week been? Okay.
Before you begin your update, Justice, can you please judge Nako for what he's drinking? Thank you.
Apparently, people have a problem with sparkling water.
No problem. Listen, I hear his chat with sparkling water. Yeah. See, when he asked for sparkling water, I got to you. And then I was like, let me just taste this thing.
Yeah.
And I was, it went down.
Amanda, bye-bye.
It went down. Electricity.
And honestly, it had to eat Coke.
It feels like you feel so important drinking this.
The self-deceit is on another level.
It does give you the illusion, like, yeah, you know.
No, you're drinking. Yeah.
It's not fizzy, but it's not necessarily water. It's just like, it's enough. Nice
water that makes you burp should concern you. Definitely.
Stop the hate. Life update, guys.
I'm done now. Go ahead. I'm done.
Okay, how I am mentally. I'm actually really good mentally. Very strong mentally, thanks to God. Mm. Like, I won't lie, I'll go crazy. And you know what's the crazy thing is? Funny enough, actually, I'm vlogging. I didn't vlog today. Don't judge me. But I'm vlogging and we're having problems with finding arrays. So for you guys, you guys know I failed my honors last year. So I'm attempting it again this year.
Transparency is real. I love that.
Yeah, we're very
transparent. Of our lives.
That we're very transparent over here. So I failed it last year and I'm reattempting it this year. So I needed to find arrays again and all those things. And my bursary kind of was like, y'all grow now. Y'all sort yourselves out. We'll pay for you. So we were going through a tough thing with that. Like, there was my application. There was a lot going on. I couldn't register. I was blocked from registering. But I was not stressed and I was not worried through it all. And then literally, we finally managed to register. When we apply, there's only 4 rooms left. And it's me and my friend. We pick our rooms quickly and we're like, aha, thank you, God. Because we wanted to be in the same race. Close to campus, and my previous race, I really liked it. There's no water shedding, no load shedding, over there. But then there was a lot of problems going on with our application. It was very silent. And it was a Saturday, and I was like, let's just go in person and just sort out our things. And then on the vlog, I literally said, actually, why am I stressed? Because the Lord has gone there before me. Mm-hmm. I literally said that on the vlog. And then I got there. The Lord was there before me because everything was literally fast, quick. Mm-hmm. Like, everything just came together as smoothly as possible. I got my keys and I'm ready to move in. I'm just broke, so I'm not moving in yet because I can't afford groceries right now. So that happened. Another thing that happened is, so I'm also studying because I'm writing next week Monday. For you guys, no, I'm not writing. But I'm writing next week Monday. So it's like trying to get over the nerves of that. And I guess what I hated about going back into studying was it hit me. I was like, I can't believe I have to do this again.
Yeah.
Like, I hated that. I was like, I can't believe I have to do this again. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think I've gotten over that. And then my birthday is coming up soon. It's on Thursday. Woo! I'm turning 22. I feel so old. 22.
We're so young, bro.
I feel so old.
It's just the lives that we live that make us feel so old.
I feel so old. And also...
Do you have any plans?
No. I think I'm just going to... Do you want to do something? I don't know. I don't have
you guys cooking this up now?
Who would have added you? But when are you flying back? Yeah, now. You're going now. Yeah. So, that's what's happening. Everything, all is well. All is good.
That's beautiful.
Mentally, it's good. Spiritually, it's good. Yeah, life is not perfect. There are hurdles and stuff. But I feel like the peace beyond my understanding is persevering right now because nothing is worrying me. I'm not worried.
It's wonderful.
Lovely.
You can go next.
There's an avalanche.
That's what I start.
You guys
that's
know.
An intro. Sure. Where to begin? I think I've lived my whole life being hyper independent. Mm. And I never, ever, ever asked for help, ever. Mm. Ever. And it was because, one, pride, I'm going to be very honest about it. I was very proud. I always felt the need to take the bull by its horns, you know. Because responsibility was handed to me very young, and then being a responsible person became my persona. Mm. But I've come to the point where I can't do it on my own anymore, you know? It's so difficult to say, but I need help. Shoo.
Oof, yeah.
Oh my God, this is actually deep.
Oh yeah, okay. We started.
Yeah, we're here. Yeah, this is me. Yeah. I need help and I'm gonna get it. By gonna get it, I mean right after this episode, I'm getting myself admitted because I feel at the brink of madness, pure madness. I feel like, you see, what Job avoided is what I'm also trying to avoid. Mm. You know, when you're in a season of drought and loneliness and turmoil, mental turmoil, because I feel like that's where I am, the enemy is trying to get you to abandon God, abandon faith.
Strong.
And that's where I'm at, like,
strong.
I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. Job didn't do it, and look what happened to him. Do you know what I'm saying? And so I'm moving towards getting the help that I need. And I'm saying that because this past weekend, I just flew in back from Durban. I didn't go there for holiday. I blinked and I was in Durban. I don't know how to explain it. One moment I was at an event with the theme Christ as my CEO, and there I am talking about Christ as my CEO, and the next minute I'm standing at the beach, and I'm praying, and I'm like, you have to help me, because it feels like an echo chamber when I pray, and it's not that. Just because you can't hear him doesn't mean he's not there. Doesn't mean he's not even. Sometimes seasons like this are pruning seasons. And maybe it's that pride of not asking for help that I need to get out, that he wants to get out. Mm. Like, hey, say you need me because you function as if you've got this, you know? So, yeah, guys, mentally, shoo. We're on the brink of madness. Like, I'm at my wit's end, you know? Spiritually, like I said, Job is my... What is it called?
Twin. Where have you been?
What's the word?
You resonate.
I resonate, but I feel like... You know in the New Testament how they are... Are they called archetypes? The people in the Old Testament are archetypes for people in the New Testament.
Sure, I hear that.
You get what I'm saying? So I'm New Testament, but my archetype is Job, you know? Yeah. So that's where I am spiritually. Physically healthy, praise God. What else is there? Not the simultaneous sigh.
You started off on a very heavy note.
Yeah. That's why I was like, go fast, because this one here is...
No, but I'm really proud of you. That's what I wanted to say. First of all, I'd like to say I'm really proud that you are able to admit and voice out loud that you need help, especially from you. That shows that God is truly there, even though that there, right? That right there
yeah.
is him.
I know.
That right there is him. Because yeah. you aren't a person who can admit that. You know, your pride does not allow you to admit that.
But I'm as proud as they come. Yeah. Let me speak in past tense, praise God. I was proud.
I was proud.
And
I'm very proud of you. I'm also proud of you for coming in today. I'm proud of you. Like, I'm so proud of you for coming in today. You don't understand. And I just want to say that God clearly has his hand in your life. And every difficulty, everything that you're saying, you are feeling heavy about, mm-hmm. he's very aware. It's not that he's unaware, he's very aware. Actually, you know when I was calling you? I was at church.
Really?
Yeah, I was at church.
Oh, yesterday was a Sunday.
Yeah,
so while you're at church, I'm at the mouth of the ocean.
Yeah, and I'm trying to call this girl, listening to the sermon one ear, the other ear,
you know,
there and there.
I'm so encouraged by you guys, man. So much. I was actually, when you hit me up and texted me, I was thinking, because in my head, I'm always very systematic about what God wants me to say to people. Like, okay, I'm going there. Lord, what is it that you want me to share?
Mm-hmm.
And literally, when you said it's a conversation, I knew not to prepare, because this I'm speaking from life. Mm. You know, this is my daily life. So what you're sharing in the beginning resonates so much about the echoes like I've been receiving about how the enemy attacks people first from receiving God. Mm. Like his primary intention is to get people never to get to the point where you guys are at. Mm. Where you are here professing your faith at your age. You're bold about this faith. You're bold about saying, I believe in him. I'm praying. Christ CEO. Like, that's a terminology in our generation that is like, oh, yo, relax, you know. So that's the first point of attack. And the proof of that is the people who call it a white man's religion. Mm. You guys are not at that point. Mm. The proof of that is the people who question his credibility, who discredit his existence, you know. So all those avenues are proof that Satan fights people from receiving God. Mm. But then this is where I resonate with this with your experience. The second attack is where he fights you from becoming.
I walk away? Is it possible that we just leave him here?
The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, to as many who received Christ, he gave them the power to become. So when Satan fails to stop you from receiving God, he fights you from becoming. And I think that's what I felt. Like, as you're speaking, I'm like, oh, yeah, those are all the tactics. Like, take an inventory of everything that's happening in your life that's not okay. That's what the kingdom of darkness has planted to ensure, and they trust that she will not become. Because here she is, she believes in, she's received Christ, so he definitely failed at that avenue. He failed at stopping you to say, no, Christianity is not real. It's just the Bible that came with white men. He failed at that. He failed at getting me from saying such things, that God is just a myth. God is just a place where baddies run. I heard something like that during the week. Yeah, when people are tired of the club, they run to God.
Yeah, I've also seen that.
Yeah, that is proof of all the people who the enemy has succeeded over. The Bible says, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. It says the enemy has blinded the eyes of the unbelievers. Mm. So that's proof. But the second fight that we all, unfortunately, and it's a corporate battle that we're facing, every obstruction, whether it's relationships, whether it's family issues, whether it's depression, anxiety, whether it's financial instability, everything that you can point out that's affecting your faith, that's the seed to say, yeah, no, I'm going to stop her from becoming.
You know, when you say this, actually brings in the sermon yesterday when the pastor was speaking about tithe, tithe and offering. That was the thing of the sermon. And he was like, if you look at it, like, the tithe is not for you. Mm. The tithe is not something for you. And it's not for him type of thing. It's like, yeah, you are not tithing to increase your pride and everything like that. And you are not tithing to increase the Lord's wealth because he is wealthy. Mm. And he even made an example when Jesus was preaching and there was the woman who had her last like coin, you know, Christ didn't stop her from tithing and say, hey, this is your last coin, sure, don't tithe, there's no, sure, need for you to tithe,
sure,
you know. He let her tithe because that was her way of receiving him, you know. That was how she was receiving him, you know. And that's what a tithe is. It allows you to say, hey, God, because in the Bible, the tenth represents all. Mm. That's why the tithe is 10%. Because it represents all. When you look at the stories, when God sends 10, when he says 10, it's to represent the all. Like when Joseph, I told you I was reading Genesis. When Joseph, was it Joseph? It's Joseph, yes. When Joseph, his brother sold him and everything like that. Mm. And when he was representing the wealth of Egypt, meaning his wealth, he sent his brothers back with 10 camels to represent all the wealth. Mm. So that's what tithe is, you know. And it's a thing of like, that's where, for me, my attack with the enemy, I know it very well, it's very financial, you know. And it's hard, it was very difficult for me to say, I'm giving a tithe when I have nothing. Mm. You know, like this, like, oh.
We're getting into it now. It was not a mistake.
Yeah. So it was like, how do I tithe when I have nothing? Mm. How do I tithe from my nothingness, you know? Mm. And it's just showing me that that's the attack from the enemy. Because when that tithe for me represents God's provision, that tithe for me equals that, hey, I'm giving you this, and I know that you will provide. I'll trust that you'll provide what I need. I'll trust you where I'm saying that, oh, this 200 rand could have gone there. I know that when I take it to you, that will be covered. Mm. That you will provide for me in that area. Mm. And it's a very difficult thing to do. It's a very difficult thing to go into, you know, to release God and allow him to work in your finances, because you want to be so in control of them, you know. So when you're talking about attacks, yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
Damn it.
We're not even like 20 minutes in, bro.
And already it's
a burden, guys, honestly. And I feel it deeply. The next point of attack is let's try to silence the people who received him. Mm. So let's get them to look like where they come from. Mm. Yeah, let them only say it so that I can hear them on a podcast say that they're Christians. But outside of this room, let them live like the world. Mm. Let them.
It's too soon.
So that's the contention we all share. We are, all of us are being fought from, okay, let's stop her from getting that money out. Let her be selfish about it. So that she never experiences the abundance of God. She never beholds her maker. She never gets to a point where she's able to look back and say, oh, God took me out of that. You never become.
Yes. Let's go into it. Let's be structured. Yeah, let's be structured.
There's no such thing as a coincidence, man.
There is no such thing as a coincidence. Yeah. The fight that you must have, everything.
No such thing.
You know, this moment right here, God fought for it. It was not a fight we fought. God fought for this moment right here. And wow,
may not like you right now, but definitely grateful. Don't like
understand
you,
me.
But definitely. Yeah. So, okay, guys. Oh, that was a hefty life update.
Share his life update.
Oh, you didn't.
Yeah, he tried to escape. Did you see him?
He tried to run away. You know, and I'm very thinking because we received from
and then we're like let's move on.
No. Oh my goodness.
You will see a life update.
Okay, I'll just take the past 2 weeks, maybe.
Yeah.
That's fair. The past week, really.
Yeah.
So I am, in fact, here in Joburg for ministry.
Mm-hmm.
A sister of mine was hosting a tour. She called me to say, hey, please come share a word. You know, it's a worship night, so, you know. So, yeah, I pulled through. And so the biggest thing about that night for me was I have the privilege, by God's grace, to go quite a few places ministering, you know. So sometimes I know when I'm being inspired by the Lord, like, yeah, I know I feel like, Lord, thank you so much, and I thank him. So this experience didn't feel like God was with me, you know, like it's weird to share, but it just so much so I sat down and I was like, Lord, are you really with me? What was that? What was going on? Like, were the people hearing that? Did I say something wrong? You know, I was so much in my mind. And though I know the feedback of people does not determine effectiveness. You know? Like someone could stare right at you in the eye and say nothing, no amen, but the word could pierce their hearts. You know, I know that, but at that moment, I was just crippled by the atmosphere. Like I was in my head a lot. So God really had to remind me that, hey man, this is my word. these are my people, and I know how to deal with them. And that only became clear maybe 2 days later, someone saying, thank you for the word. I was like, oh, okay, you felt it? Okay, thank God, you know? And it was just a slap in the face that I'm not the one, you know? It's not me doing it, you know? It's the word that's effective in our lives, you know? So, yeah, huge, huge slap. Either than that, I'm good, I'm well, mentally, spiritually. I'm burdened whenever I come here. And I think we're going to get into that. I don't want to get into it now. Mm-hmm. Maybe, yeah.
The meat of the...
Yeah. Yeah, whenever I come to the city, I'm burdened, man. Mm. Because I see the atmosphere of salvation this side. Mm. You know, I see the mixture. I see, you know, sometimes I come on here and I hear things and I see things. And I read the Bible to make sure, is your scripture still the same? Or have you forbid? Like, you know, that's how confusing sometimes it is. And then I have to constantly remind myself, okay, Lord, help me so that I become the representation for the dying generation. I become the representation for the spaces and just the places that are plagued by deception, you know. So, I'm always burdened because I want people to come to the knowledge of the truth. And the truth is there. And the truth is that we can be free and we can effectively live for God. So it bothers me to see people with influence, with you know, with prominent social significance, claiming to be Christians but living lives that contradict that, and not necessarily because of the contradiction, but because it affects the young boy looking up to them and they think that's okay, the young girl wanting to pursue God, looking up to this figure, thinking that that's okay. That's where the burden comes from. You know, there are a lot of people who live how they want, and that's not the contention. The contention is the minute they begin to claim Christianity and God, but still publicly live like that, it sets a very nasty, distasteful precedence for the one who genuinely wants God. And,
You know, wait, so sorry, but when you're saying this... Though. No, yeah, no, when you're saying this,
are you?
When you're saying this, I'm telling you, I felt something so deeply this week. I don't know why I didn't mention it in that life update. Thank you for reminding me. My friend was watching a prominent YouTuber's vlog. And the whole vlog, have you ever felt disgust? And it was, I don't know why, but it itched. It was painful here listening to that vlog. I wasn't watching with her. We're in the same room. And it was very painful listening. And I literally walked out. I'm like, I'm not going to listen to this. My spirit did not even want to listen to this. And I left. And I went to my room and I laid down.
What was it about the vlog that
I'm getting? I'm getting there.
Okay.
Then she came in my room and then she asked me. And then she asked me.
Lil.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's fine.
Oh, sure. You want?
All right, my electricity is finished.
You want more
electricity? It's all good. It's all good.
Okay. And then when she, what to call this? When she came to my room, my friend, after the vlog, she's like, what do you think about A, B, C, D, and E? Because I found it odd. And I was like, okay. I was so glad that she didn't. She was not receiving that. She was not that. She was just listening to see how other people think, but she was not actually internalizing it. So this vlogger went to church. They went to church. They came back from church. The first thing they said that irked me was that, I love going to church because it's... like when I go to church, like basically for their own relief, because when they come out of church, they come out feeling not burdened, and not necessarily like they say that they prefer that over sitting with God alone, because when they go to church, because church feeds that oxytocin, those happy hormones when you're in there, because you praise and worship, you cry, you know, it feeds that, you know, in you know, and then that was the first thing I was like, And then the second thing she said was like talking about how God is good, right? And because she's mentioning all the good things happening in her life and so on and so forth, and how God showed up for her in this one instance, I'll let you know now. And then that actually gave me a new definition of what is good. What you think is good does not necessarily mean God sees that as good.
True.
Just because it pleases you and it satisfies you and it lessens your burden does not mean it is sent from God, and God sees that as good. She was talking about how she couldn't pay her rent once. So she's a baddie, you know, like Jolofi, she couldn't pay her rent once, and God sent a man to send her money. A man she was once busy with.
Not you changing your sitting stance.
She was like, no, she feels like that was from God, because the man she was previously busy with randomly just sent her money. Ooh. And I was like, oh, when I heard that, I was like, and then she's, and then because of like, she's getting more gigs, club gigs, hosting gigs at clubs, you know, bringing in these girls, making them pop more bottles. She's getting more these hosting gigs since she's come to Christ. She feels like that was sent from God as well. And that's why her, and that's, this is why you guys must come to God, because God will give you all this goodness and all your, and your life will be good. That was literally what she was preaching. She was preaching. In her vlog, she literally said, put the camera and preached. And said, if you come to God, everything will go well in your life. And I was like, oh my God. Just because an opportunity looks good, something looks good, does not mean it is good. And I it also showed how much growth I've experienced spiritually. Because like, the me last year would have seen that and would have been like, oh, good for you. More money, less problems. Because she's living her life she wants to live. She's driving the cars she wants to drive. She has a big she has a big YouTube platform that is doing amazingly. You know, she's like very big. Like she doesn't average less than 100K views per vlog. But I just saw 100,000 people being misled. And can you see how social media is such a dangerous tool? And how the same way God uses it, the enemy is very rife in it. 100,000 people.
You know how many people is 100,000 people?
It's a lot of people. And, and those people, mind you, that's 100,000 views. That's not 100,000 actual people. Because those people can be watching with people. Those people take that vlog, send it to people. Tell whatever message was preaching, like, get to know this God because he'll bring good things in your life. And good things in your life equals Louis Vuitton, Gucci, Mercedes-Benz. Those are good things in your life. Even though poverty is not a godly thing. Being poor is not a godly thing. It's not sent from God. Poverty is not a godly thing. But, that's all I wanted to say. Thank you very much.
Are we rolling again?
I think we should get into the
girl chat.
So today's girl chat is, I think it'll actually, these conversations lead up perfectly into our girl chat and long topic. It's reinventing yourself. How do you know it's time for a change? That's the title. And then firstly, I think the first question I'd like to ask you guys is, have you ever went through reinvention? Have you ever went through a season where you're like, hey, I'm reinventing myself? And after you answer that, what triggered it?
Stagnant. I think when the waters are still, make it move. Something's got to give. I feel like, stagnance for me has been an indicator that something needs to change. And I'm not just talking about career-wise. I mean, just like mentally, spiritually as well, any form of stagnant, or any time I experience stagnance, if I've been in the same place for more than 3 months, that's when I need to reinvent. And it's not reinvent by changing my entire persona, no. Changing something about the way that I'm living or the way that I'm going about. So it's not necessarily that I come back and I, you know, change skin like a snake every now and then, no. It's making a significant turnaround in the way that I maneuver, if that makes sense.
Makes sense.
As a result of stagnance. Yeah, makes sense.
I think I'm going to take it all the way back to when I rededicated my life to God. Because I feel like that's a theme applicable in that season where a lot of things had to change. You know, circles had to change. You know, places I used to go had to, like, a lot. Like, and I was like, yo, I see these things had to change. And some were very difficult, man. I'm like, yo. Because sometimes there's the assumption that when you choose God, automatically, you know, it's
like
into place. Everything fall into place, you know. And but it's a journey and he works in you. And I think, I don't know if I want to get into it, but I think the biggest thing was reading the Bible and seeing the character of God and seeing the desires of God and realizing I'm falling short of every single standard. You know, particularly to make it more like personal, I was reading 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and 6, you know, and I mean, you know, those elementary stages of the journey, they're fun, they're nice, it's like,
Church, so much zeal,
bro, like, you feel like you can go out in the world and, you know, So I just remember, man, locking in, you know, I'm reading my Bible, I'm there, you know, it's nice, nice. 1 Corinthians 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, problem starts. Because there it deals a lot with lust and sexual immorality. So I'm like, oh, Lord, hold on. You know, and I'm reading this and I'm like, hey, yo, yo. And I almost want to close the Bible because I'm like, ish.
Why are you talking to me like that?
Why is the Bible loud, bruh? You know, and the ambition that I had, the zeal that I had, the hope that I had, because God, like, restores hope, you know. The hope that I had was, it kind of came to a standstill. Because sometimes hope translates into blessings, into, you know, platforms, into every good thing that God wants you to give, like, that you want God to give you, you know. So this one thing was like, ah, I know, in my head I know. If I continue with this thing that displeases him, then I don't qualify for all of that. You know, so I knew that reinvention was, oh my God, I was like, I struggled so hard. Mm. And I think knowing and being aware that I fall short, being aware that I can't do it with my own strength is what made me yield so much. Mm. You know, I yielded in that season. And that season was tough because it meant I can't be in the same spaces that provoke the very same things that I'm praying to God to help me with. I can't have the same conversations that provoke what I'm trusting in God to help me with. You know, I almost can't even listen to the same music, you know, that promotes this thing. So it was a season where I was like, okay, Lord, deal with me. I'm willing to step away there, step away, please, as long as you help me. So yeah, man, that's a season, a prominent season that I can remember where reinvention had to take place. Did I answer the question?
Yeah, you did. Okay. For me, when did I have to reinvent myself? Last year. Yeah. Last year was filled with
really?
Last year was filled with a lot of reinvention.
British accent.
Yeah. Every now and then you just bring people in there.
So yeah, it was last year was definitely filled with like a lot of reinvention. Mm. But I feel like the full I'm not fully transformed, but most of the bulk of the work happened in October. November, actually January this year, let me not lie. Mm. The bulk of the work happened January this year. Because with being on this platform, you know, being on this platform and being open about our relationship with God, this is a big platform. This is a platform that inspires a lot of people, that helps a lot of people, like the same way it's helping us, the same way it's very therapeutic for us, it's therapeutic for a lot of people. Like I saw it by the number of people who are sad that we're gone so long. Mm. Somebody said that, please, this year, don't take 2 months off, like take 2 weeks off in December. Mm. And because of the weight that this platform carries, and I know that it has God's anointing in it, thought I chase, I needed to be in a place where, and do stuff that I'm not ashamed when I speak about God. Because it's hard to speak about God. It's hard to speak and say he's like this, he's like that. It's hard to come here and influence thousands.
You can talk, yeah.
And you don't talk your walk, you know?
Walk your talk.
You don't walk your talk, yeah. You don't walk your talk. Talk your walk. You don't walk your talk. Yeah. You don't walk your talk, you know, in a sense. So that was when reinvention started kicking in for me. You know, this season of Thought Digest triggered that. Because now it's like, okay, this year I made a decision to quit ever setting foot in a club. Mm. Previously, when I set foot in clubs, it was not because I wanted to go to the club. It was a lot of because of my influence, of connections to clubs. Mm. So when people wanted to club, they'd be like, hey, Mpo, we want a club. It's my birthday, it's my birthday. Like most of the clubs, the time I went to the club was because it was people's birthdays. Or maybe I'm with a friend and we just club hopping and all those things. And it was a thing of like, just because that was not where I wanted to go does not mean it's right that I went. And strong. It's good that I should be
strong,
there.
Strong.
So,
strong.
Yeah. So I'm quitting clubbing, y'all. You will never see me in any club ever.
That's
ever, 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 ever. Unless God sends me there to go and minister. You know, unless I'm sent by God to go and minister there, you'll never see me there again. And I have great, like, people that I know from, like, the clubs that I went to and stuff, and I have great respect for those people, but I'm never going to put myself in that environment strong. Again for anybody, strong. For no one, strong. You know? So that was, like, one of the things that, like, hit really hard. And then two is, what else? what else? A lot, man. A lot of reinventing needed to happen because of Thought Digest and being an ambassador of Christ, even though I thought this platform was not meant to do that and was not meant to be that. It ended up becoming that. You know, so I want to be a proud ambassador of Christ.
I before you, yeah, you're going to continue there. And I don't want to say, I just want to say, I'm so encouraged by you guys. Did I say this? I think it feels like the second time. No, listen, guys. I'm very encouraged by you guys.
We are criers here.
We got full makeup.
Listen,
please,
man. I'm very encouraged by you guys because of the awareness you have. You know, ever since, it's like you read the Bible and you realize Jesus speaking, he says, this is a perverse generation. Peter speaking in the book of Acts, he says, this is a perverse generation. If it was perverse then, how much more now, you know? And some of the things the enemy has taken away from a lot of us is awareness. There's just no awareness of these things. That's why someone can vlog and say, God sent me a man to pay my school fees, you know, whilst they're living that. There's absolutely no awareness, even amongst believers themselves. Mm-hmm. So to be sitting with two young people who actually know and understand, though sometimes you may struggle, but you know. Because it reminds me so much of where I was. Because, like I said, just because we called into this, it doesn't mean it's easy. Mm. There are a lot of times where I went back. Mm. You know, I said, I'm not going to go into the club. 2 months later, I was there. But here's the distinction. And I'm not, God forbid that in your life.
I'm just saying, if I'm there, please remind me gently.
Remind me gently.
Gently.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times I went back, you know. A lot of times I said, I'm not doing this. And I did it. Mm. But the distinction this time was I felt so much guilt. Mm. You know, and that's where we are so different from the world. Mm. Is that what is a struggle to you is a lifestyle to them. You know?
That's it. Like,
you're disturbing me with your reaction. you know. Now you're at a point where you might have an appetite. It's a struggle. I'm struggling with this thing. Mm. But where you struggle, other people thrive. They are living. It's nice for them. It's what they do. But you're there, like, Lord, help me here. Mm. Help me here. And I speak as someone who has been in that season where I was very inconsistent, where I was struggling, where I used to be so guilty about resolutions I had made until I got to a point where God has said, now you can stand. And now you can present me with any, come on, let's go to who, you know. And it's not out of pride. It's just out of a point where God's reality has been so amplified in my heart that you cannot offer me the club. You know, so we have grace for people who are struggling in those spaces, you know, for Christians who are like, hey, man, I'm a Christian, but I still want alcohol sometimes and I struggle. There is a point where you must believe it's possible for you. All right. So I'm encouraged. That's the point. very, very encouraged by you guys.
You guys are going to have to keep bringing me back.
I tried. Yeah, I'm like, come back.
Because you say something, I get hit, and then I'm gone.
And then you're now going to your thoughts.
I don't want to mess up the setup. I'm like, yo, talk, bro. Like, say something.
Yeah, but then, no, it's helping. It's helping. You're going to have to do it more often. It's helping.
Now, the next question is, like, with reinventing yourself, how do you grow but stay true to who you are? Or do you have to let go of the idea of who you think you are?
That's such a layered question.
Yeah, it is.
So yeah, I created layers. This question.
That's what I created. Okay, just no, so you guys fine. Know. Just so you guys know.
That's what I'm saying.
I think even in reinventing yourself, you have to know that the person you were is still useful to who you're going to become. Does that make sense? For our stories, when we rededicated our lives to Christ, that part is still necessary to appeal to the person who I'm preaching to, who's there still.
Maybe I should. Hold on now.
Yo. I'm just drawing from you at this point. I'm just like, yes. He still matters. Mm. You in 2016 still matters. Me last year still matters. Because there's me who's listening to me right
that
now.
So
does that
strong,
make sense?
Man.
So reinventing is don't forget. Do you know what I'm saying? Even when you find yourself slipping, remember that it was once worse than this. You had no conscience at some point. Mm. You know? And when you spoke about the awareness, what came to my spirit, revival.
Yeah, my goodness.
What came into my spirit is the reason why blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is unforgivable, it's not because the Holy Spirit is offended. No, no, no. It's because you have now lost the consciousness. And it's the consciousness that navigates you towards God and away from Satan. Yeah. It is you who did this to me now.
It's revival.
Yeah, and yeah. That you appreciating awareness and seeing awareness is such an important point to make, because as a child of God, there is so much repentance you need to make when you cannot hear him anymore.
Yo, guys, I didn't know this was the conversation where it was going to go. I had no idea. Forgive me now.
Have I answered?
Oh.
Have I answered?
Yo. Yeah. I don't know if I'm writing off that, but I think I should. I don't have an answer of my own. I don't even want you to repeat the question, but man, that is true. Mm. The reference we have to glorify God is what we were.
Mm-hmm.
It strengthens your gratitude. Mm. It fuels your walk. It fuels your faith. Because you're like, Lord, you took me from that. How does that even make sense, guys? Mm. Like, I was in clubs. You used to be a contact for people who wanted to club.
Mm.
I was addicted. I was in the world. And now I'm this person. How is that even possible? And that's why I usually say that the greatest evidence of the salvation that we have been called to is you. You can only quote so much of David and what happened to him and Joseph and what happened to him.
Mm.
But the fueling factor is the fact that he dealt with me.
Mm.
I'm not the same. And to still remember who I was, it drives me, man. Mm. That's why sometimes you grow compassionate for the world. You know, that's why, like, you preach less about sin and more about the love of God.
Mm.
Because that's what the world needs. Mm. It's for them to know, hey, man, God can change you. Mm. That's the message.
God can change.
God can change you.
You don't have to change yourself to meet him.
Exactly.
He will change
exactly.
You.
So sometimes we do a great injustice telling them about the things that they're already doing. Because some know. They know they're not supposed to be there.
Yeah.
But that's the fallen world. That's culture. That's normal. But when you tell them God can change you, they gain a hope, man. And your life is that evidence. So, yeah, I'm just going to...
I'm just here.
Yeah.
What can I say now? I don't think there's any more I can give. Ooh. Like, it was given. There's nothing more I can give. Okay, last question is, what's one area of your life where you've completely evolved in the past few years? Not you are still evolving, but you've completely evolved.
Wow.
Let's think.
Maybe I'll start.
Okay, you can start this.
Wanting a relationship.
Oh.
Yeah.
I need that.
Yeah. Wanting a person. And I say this also in reference. That's why what you said was so strong, because it reminds me of so much of the state and the confusion I was in.
Mm.
You know, so I rededicate my life, and, you know, 6 months into it, I feel the necessity to say, okay, now, Lord, I feel like there's a void here. I'm feeling like come on, Lord. I mean,
it was not good for Adam to be by himself. is that beckoning you? See, this is what you gave me.
Literally, yeah. Literally, not be alone. A man leaves his father's house, mother's house. Enjoy. I think that was the biggest thing, man. I was like, yo, now I want proximity. Like, and I used to be triggered by little things, like, because the thing is, that's another thing. Maybe just to, you know, take a tangent a bit. You know what those experiences felt like. You know what what the touch of a woman does, bro.
Mm. It's hard to be like.
Yeah, you know how cuddles feel like, bro. Like,
you were in the thick of it.
You know the experiences. Yeah. So now here I am, I'm a new creature. You know, all things have been made new.
But you put but the
I'm finding myself. When I see couples walking, I'm like, Lord.
Sending jealousy.
Lord, can I have that?
Yeah.
You know, so that's predominantly what was in the beginning. Like, I struggled with that. And I came to a point where I had to ask, because I saw it, like, it was overwhelming. Like, I'm overwhelmed. Like, I'm now, you know? Mm. So I really came to a point where I said, Lord, if you're real, like, and if everything that's written about you in scripture is real, why can't I be fulfilled as a single person? Why can't I have the same ambition I had for a human being, where I'd wake up in the morning and the first thing is to say good morning? Why can't I be that conscious of your presence in my life? What's wrong with me? That's the greatest question I ask myself. What's wrong with me? There's clearly a problem here. Why is there such a void that needs human if you are truly, truly enough for me? You know, and God had to take me through those corridors, and it wasn't easy. You know, so now I'm at a point where I know being single is a great advantage for the believer. And I'll prove it by saying this. Do you know how the Bible says those who claim to love God but hate the people that they see lie? The Bible says if you claim to love God who you have not seen, but you somewhat hate the person that you've seen, it means that we humans are accustomed to loving things that we will see. So the relationship I have with you is going to be more real than the one I have with God because I haven't seen him. The dates solidify that. The seeing you, the phone calls, that becomes more of a reality than what prayer will do, because all my life I've spent in the world. So all my actions are informed by convenience, by what I see. Right? So I knew this, like I and so much so there was a time where I tried and I was like, oh, okay, this is not for me because, yeah, no, I'm led into, you know, there's only so much. Another story for another day. But, you know, I was like, okay. So I was so burdened. My Lord, why aren't you, why am I not satisfied if you're truly there for me? You know, so he brought me to that junction where he's now real in my life. Like, you could never fool me by saying, yeah, no, vacation. Yeah, I know. Because I know being single is a great advantage. Is a great advantage. Yeah.
Nivile, I'm talking to myself. For me, let's see. Area where I completely reinvented myself. We're having these conversations. My friend said something very interesting to me today in the morning. She was like, yes, my tea. So they call me my tea. My tea. Yes, my tea. You're serious lately. Like, you can't take a joke. Everything is very serious for you. And I didn't realize that was like a change in character that God, he pushed that. Because when they say I'm serious, is you can't joke and say it's a joke when you're being mean. You can't say it's a joke when you're speaking vile things. Like my friend said something today, and I'm like, that's the same tongue you used to praise the Lord. And then that's when they said, I'm too serious. You know, and I feel like that's where I feel like I've evolved. Because it was done subconsciously. I was not conscious of the fact that I've evolved in that area, but I feel like that's where I've evolved. Like, you cannot just speak, you know, and I'm like gonna respond. If what she's saying does not speak with my spirit, like, I'll be like, oh yeah, yeah, but then you can't listen to the artist because did you hear that music? My tea was serious. Did you hear that lyric? Oh, serious, my tea. Like, you know, and I'm just like, yeah, I guess that's where I've completely evolved. I think it's God's wisdom, I guess. And because I'm going into, and you know, all these changes are happening because I'm sitting with him more. You know, I'm more aware of him, you know? So I feel like that's an area of my life where I've completely evolved.
That's good.
You know, I think God's wisdom speaks more from me. And also my ears as well don't like certain things anymore. Like, I'm quick to catch something and say, like, I'm very sensitive now.
That's lovely. I think same. I think that's the part of me that I got rid of long time. That insensitivity to sin. Like, even when I had stopped, let me say, I no longer, what's the word? Not ignore the Holy Spirit. I no longer negotiate. Like, I would... Even when I was in the club scene as well, I'd be like, no, I'm just here because I don't want to be in the house alone. It's not that I enjoy here, but I'm here, you know what I'm saying? I stopped doing that. And I know sin for what it is. And more than knowing sin for what it is, I know the dominion I have.
Strong.
That makes sense. And so it has no hold over me. Does that mean we should continue in sin so that grace may abound? Paul says, by all means, no.
You're preaching.
Know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I know that... The power, love, sound mind. I know. You know what I'm saying? So there is no, I've overcome sin. I don't know how to explain it. But there is no, there's nothing that can have a, you can't have a hold on me. If you see me, my friend, you and I, our battles are not the same. Know that whatever, even if I find myself where I'm not supposed to be, it will not have a hold on me. By the time the sun comes up, I've already moved. I've been removed. Do you know what I'm saying? So that died a long time ago.
Yeah. And I feel like that position we should not take for granted. It's such a beautiful thing to have. Like, not being very sensitive and very hyper-aware. That's your eyes being opened. You are no longer blind. Now you can see. Because now you're no longer blind to what you hear. You're no longer blind to what you see. You're not no longer blind to where you are. Your eyes are opened. You can see. You know, and that just shows God's working. You see, I came a sinner and he changed me. Like, testimony. You know?
My final remarks on this subject, guys, is this, and I've shared this, and it reminds me so much of what you're saying. That do you realize that the world could never do what we're doing? No one in the world can wake up today and decide devotion for themselves and decide insensitivity to sin. That is something only grace can give you. That is why we could easily go to the club. You could easily fornicate. You could easily be involved in a lot of things. But they could never have the heart for God that you have. They could never be immune to those spaces because we were, and it was difficult. Do you know how many times I tried saying no, and I'm like, okay, Lord, this is the last weekend.
My friend.
And then next week I'm there, you know, but okay, I'm not drinking again, Lord. I'm there. As soon as Friday hits, you're there, you know?
Yeah.
So you get to a point where, in fact, the Bible says, Titus chapter 2, it says, grace teaches us to say no to worldly passions. So that's why it says we can't boast about it. You know, we have no boast in saying, ah, I'm better than them. No, there's no better than anyone.
For sure.
There's a power at work in you. That when you see the bottle that you saw and you were hungry over it, now it's just like, no, get away with that, bro.
Yeah.
You know, this music sounds demonic. Get away with that. Not because you're making yourself better. There's just a power empowering you.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. This is a beautiful girl chat, y'all. I hope you enjoyed it.
I'm part of the girlies now.
I hope you enjoyed it.
Jesty, full-time Jesty.
I think now we can go into the game quickly. Yeah. So we can go into the fear of starting over and how to overcome it. Ah, guys, I cooked this episode. Listen.
Dun, dun, dun.
Gim open peggist. Actually, maybe it was the Lord. Actually, it was the Lord who cooked this episode. Hola. All I want to say is he refused to play this game. I had to convince him. He's like, a game. And I'm like, yeah, it's just relax. It's not that serious.
I didn't want this one.
Are you competitive? Do you consider yourself?
Yes, I am.
You're going to have a tough time. Actually, you're going to have an easy time with me because I give
you're not competitive.
What? No.
I'm the competitive one.
You are. I'm very competitive.
I've never lost 30 seconds. And it's something I
as every time we play a game, lose. She never fails to mention.
Yeah,
this.
No, I don't lose 30 seconds. Bowling, 30 seconds, none of that.
Bowling, I lose. I have witnesses. I can't lie. Tato's nodding. In bowling, to be fair, the bowling alley in four ways.
It's not a mental thing.
Oh my gosh, excuses.
I can win bowling, I promise. Okay, so one host gives clues about a famous human rights activist without saying their name, the other host has to guess who it is. Okay. So, Rampedi Media sends us the clues.
Do you want to start?
Let me see. Where are my clues, actually? Okay, let me start. This was so easy, Tato. Okay, so whoever says the answer first is the winner. Are you guys ready?
Okay.
Yeah, awake. This Indian
independence
activist used non-violent resistance.
Mahatma Gandhi.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just heard Indian.
Oh, it's not in the...
Don't show me. You're not supposed to show me.
Guys, well, okay, sorry, Ne. I thought it's not here. It's not,
no,
it's not,
these are the ones that you're going to read to
us. To you guys. Okay, okay, okay. Sorry, my bad.
So, no, you lost.
Yeah, it's lost. I mean, okay, we can do it again, and then she answers. I will keep quiet.
Okay. Yeah. A Burmese politician...
I'm stepping back.
You have to answer this, guys, both of you. A Burmese politician, this activist spent 15 years under house arrest... advocating democracy and human rights.
So is it a woman?
Angaz, Angmaznam. Angmaznam. I saw
if,
this.
If you don't know, then who are we?
Who's are we?
The name is very Asian.
So, like, that's not a clue at all.
Aung San Suu Kyi.
Yeah.
Aung, I don't even know how to say the name. Aung San Suu Kyi. Yeah,
never heard of you.
Okay, the
I'm
last
sorry
one.
To that person.
I'm glad that's the last one.
This African American woman refused.
Rosa Parks.
I didn't even hear the question properly.
That's good.
I just named any American woman, then refused. I was like, it has something to do with the bus.
Prepared, yeah. No,
we all
when are you cooked?
No, she didn't prepare. Watch last.
Watch the episode before yours.
Yeah, the episode before yours.
I was so lost.
Okay.
Completely lost.
You can go last, girl. Is that okay?
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
This Pakistani activist was shot in the head by the Taliban, but survived to become a global symbol for girls' education.
And you know, she was a young woman.
Yes.
I know how she looks. I don't know her name. At least I know that.
That was me last week.
And it's a recent thing. It's not like that. It happened in like the 2000s.
Really?
Mm. 2000s. Very recent.
Shot in the head.
Mm-hmm. She was.
Okay, do you guys give up?
Yeah, no, I gave up.
Malala Yousafzai.
Bruh.
Never
was that the person you were thinking?
Yes, it was. The
proud of you. Thank you so much.
At least I know.
Okay. let me give you all an easy one. Tato wants you guys cooked with this one. a South African anti-apartheid revolutionary. This activist spent 27 years.
Nelson Mandela.
Okay, fine.
The point is gone. The last one, an American labor leader. This activist co-founded the United Farm Workers and advocated for workers' rights.
Do you know the person?
No.
Okay, then I don't know the person.
Caesar, I don't know how to pronounce it. Chavez.
I don't even want to try. Siveze.
Mama. Chavez. Chavez.
That's the last question, right?
Yes, that's my last one.
Yeah, bro really wanted to cook you guys.
<I'm>
There's no
you,
way.
You couldn't filter them and make them easier, Nyana. Like, if you didn't know the answer. Name 10 people in this category.
Activists.
We have Mahatma Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, Winnie Mandela. We have Martin Luther King. We have Rosa Parks. We have Mother Teresa, even though I've been with her. We have Mother Teresa. We have... Who was the one who abolished slavery in America? Which president was it? George Washington? Mm.
Girl, you're looking at the wrong person.
I don't know, y'all. Give me some.
Biko.
Biko, exactly.
Well, Chris Hani.
Chris Hani, exactly. One last person. Thabo Mbeki. Yeah. I don't
know. Oh, Atambo.
Atambo, exactly.
Good. Okay. A Native American activist. This individual fought for indigenous rights and environment.
Native American.
Yes.
That was it. Just give us the answer.
You can't say the name.
Wilma Mankiller. Well, my man, Kiel, I don't. I've
we
never.
We have to do better, guys.
Hey, we have to. Man, you know, this is inspiring a passion. I need to go.
Now you're gonna go study.
Hey, man.
Famous activist.
Yeah, I know Paul and how he died.
I'm telling you, ask us, Baba, ask us. Bible trivia. Yeah.
I would lose dismally.
Oh, yeah, we had an episode where we did Bible trivia.
Is it?
Paul was hilarious.
I'd love that. But you know, this is humility. I'm being humble now to say you don't know everything, man. So it's good.
Then you cook us when you play Bible trivia when you guys come back.
A Polish trade union. Polish, sorry.
Okay, please just tell us.
Tell us who's the person. Polish.
So you guys wasted no time.
What do we know about Poland?
It's Lech Walesa.
Walesa.
I've heard of her.
Are you sure it's a her?
Yeah, I don't even know.
Exactly.
Okay, the last question. This Egyptian activist was a leading figure.
The game was very fun. Let's move on to the long topic. It ain't that serious.
Egyptian.
I had like simple ones that I had prepared. Then Tato didn't make me.
I saw the simple ones.
I had like Boma, this American civil rights leader delivered the speech. I have a dream.
Yo, nice MLK. Things.
Exactly.
Nice things.
This South African anti-apartheid activist is known for her powerful speeches and was the first black woman to be elected as the Johannesburg City Council.
City Council? Almost.
There's a hospital named after her.
Okay, that's a good clue.
Hospital, ne?
Yeah, in Joburg.
Is that...
next to your school, next to our old school.
Next to UJ.
Yeah, the hospital right next to UJ. Kaya.
Tato is like, yeah, you guys are not serious.
Helen Joseph.
There we go.
It was at the tip of my tongue, man.
This South African woman became a prominent figure in the fight against apartheid, even leading protests against past laws in
1915.
I remember her, and you didn't think of Winnie.
Okay.
This South African activist was a key figure in the anti-apartheid movement, known for his slogan, "It is better to die standing than to live on our knees, on your knees." Which says, see.
What did they quoted him in thingy, in Black Panther?
Really?
They did?
Yeah, when they killed Killmonger?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did they kill Killmonger?
Oh. Yes, he did die.
Yeah, but when they were about to kill him, he was like, it's better to die on something.
Than to on your... Okay, the long topic, the fear of starting over and how to overcome it. Have you ever had to start over?
I think we're going to be referencing rededicating our lives.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
But like, that was the clean slate.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
That's when you had to start over.
Yeah. That's when you're really...
new friends.
New spaces.
Were you scared?
It was nerve-wracking, man. Because what are they going to say? I think that's primarily what was in my mind. What's everybody going to say? What you mean I'm now a preacher? In fact, it happened to Paul. I don't know if you guys remember, where the Bible says he began to preach and the people in Jerusalem asked themselves, isn't this the same guy who was persecuting the Christians? Mm-hmm. So that kept on echoing in my mind. What are people going to say? I was very public. I was very loud about my lifestyle. And all of a sudden, I'm all on God, you know? So I did fear that.
Yeah.
And then Kaya, for you?
You know, I grew up in the church as well. Mm. And many years I went to church, from 5 years old to this very day, you know what I'm saying? But for, I think, at least 20 of those years, I didn't really care. And you know what's crazy is that I would say I was so active in the church that it seemed like I care. Mm. You know, they even gave me slots to lead prayer, slots to lead devotion. I was a leader in the youth church who gave no care to what I was doing at all. Mm. I was so accustomed to that tradition, way of life, to tradition, that this is just the way that I live. This is how my family lives. This is how I'm going to choose to live is cool. I may not believe any of it, mm-hmm. but this is all I know. And it had to come from, I remember the turnaround point was after being in an abusive relationship and I had finally gotten the courage to leave. I had been with this person for about 2 years and I've only, you know, registered in the past few weeks actually that this person groomed me because I met him when I was 17 and he was 24, 23, 24. And so I spent majority of my young adulthood living for this person. I went to church, still did whatever because tradition. But the person I was really living for was my abusive boyfriend. Sure. And so I finally got the courage to leave. And it was a now what situation. Like, my leader is gone. The person I considered my leader, the person I gave everything to, every bit of my time and energy and love and devotion to, is gone. You know, I've kicked them out of my life. What now? Mm. And that became the moment where I had to interrogate what this tradition is. Because I knew there was a God, definitely. I knew there were prayers that were answered throughout the 20 years that I was there. But I needed to get to know him for myself. One, because my heart was shattered. And I was like, if you are who you say you are, which is the creator of all that is, you're going to fix this thing out of me.
Yeah.
Fix it. Yeah. My heart is broken. I don't see the purpose in living anymore. If you are who you say you are, you're going to give me hope. It was like Jacob, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was wrestling. Chill. I said, it's me and you now. And as much as I was very tradition focused, I said, even in that wrestle, I said, it's got to count for something. You know, it's got to count for something. And long story short, he showed up. That's the point of the story. He showed up.
I'm not going to say anything long, but this is a whole different Chad. Heartbreak.
Who are you?
Whoa. Yo, so I feel that, but I'm not going to. Hey, that's a whole Chad.
That's a whole heartbreak. Other one.
Yeah. It will. My goodness. Okay, yeah.
It will destabilize you. It will
We had a whole conversation on heartbreak. Hey. Like, last month. You missed it. So,
hey. Come back.
It's a sign.
In the bundus.
It's a sign.
That's why I'm living in the bundus.
It's a sign.
You guys are really need to.
For me, with starting over, I guess, saying, because I've never really had to start over in terms of, like, packing up and moving and everything like that. But starting over with my relationship with God. So, same, grew up in the church, but on different pretenses. My father was a Seventh-day Adventist. I didn't go to church with him. My mom never went to church. So, I went to church alone. So, I used to, like, it was like, I had a friend who, like, I would go with people. Whoever says, oh, there's church on Sunday, I'd go. I think I've tried all types of churches because I've went to all types of people to different churches. And then there was a church which I made my home. That raised me for a while, and I went there a lot. You know, like, I was also very much involved. I was in the worship team at church, very much involved in, like, youth and stuff like that. Planned a whole missionary trip with the other youth and everything. And I was young. I was the youngest in the worship team, youngest in the youth leadership, youngest everything. I was very much involved. But it's not that I didn't care. It's just that, you know, the church is a place with sick people. True. Not everyone who's in church, not everyone who holds certain positions, not everyone who's there is a good person. You know, so I grew up in the church, but the people were in, because I was very much involved, so I saw everybody. Like, people's sins I knew, because I'm very much integrated in the church, you know. And literally, this weekend, we're having a conversation with my friend, who was actually, like, a youth pastor at the church at some point, and she was my youth leader at the time I was at church, about a pedophile that was holding a position of leadership at the church, who had attempted to groom me, attempted to groom my friend, and attempted to groom her, you know? And it's like seeing, being lusted over by the people who are supposed to protect you. You know, being exposed to that, you know, made me see Christianity is a very surface level thing. Mm. Like it's a cloth you wear. Mm-hmm. You know, you come, you put up a front, you act, you do things, we come, we sing, we come, we do the right things, but there was no drive, no zeal to actually live for God, even outside the space of church, in our minds and in our hearts, mm-hmm. you know? I never really saw that, you know? So even when I got baptized, now I'm thinking about it, I don't think I got baptized on the right pretenses, on the right idea of what Christianity really was. And once I grew, and God gave me that wisdom for myself, I needed to start over. Mm. I needed to redefine what this religion is. That's why, like, there was a long season where I was like, I'm not Christian. I don't want to identify with Christianity, because what Christianity stands for in the public eye, what it's marching for in the public eye is very, it's not God-driven. The enemy is so prevalent. He's working overtime that he's taken over the entire religion, you know? And I was like, I don't want to identify with this religion that does not represent who God is. So now I'm just like, redefining it, starting over for myself in this religion.
Strong, man. Yeah.
It hurt. I think before you share yours, I think it's also the conversation of knowing who your leaders are. That one is also difficult for me because I was also knee deep in leadership, and I got to see them for who. That can also really negatively affect your faith. But, and I'm saying this to the me then as well, because as soon as I saw, you know, a lot of transgression and sin, I left. Like, I can't be here. These are my leaders. I'm gone.
I've never returned.
Yeah, but I realized, I was a baby. I realized months after that, you ran when you became the same person at some point. You were also very much a wayward leader. Maybe not in the ways that they were, but you too had your thorn. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I want to appeal to the part of our audience that has been church hurt.
Thank you.
That it's valid. Let's validate your experience. Your experience being hurt by somebody in the church, by the structure, by the system, by the transgressions, the shortcomings of the people you attended church with is very valid. But understand that we are not governed by the law anymore. Mm. We're governed by grace. Mm. And the same grace that you need is the same grace that they need. It's difficult to understand because you think about it, how can God still give the, how can this person still have the anointing? You know, somebody, one of the pastors was still ministering despite having sexually assaulted somebody. Still ministering. Still had. Do you know what I'm saying? And I always say that the same grace there is for those who are wounded is the same grace for those who wound. It is such an unfathomable grace. And that's why we cannot comprehend our God. Yeah. Because grace, Paul killed. Do you know what I'm saying? In cold blood, he murdered. Same guy. And it's difficult to wrap your head around when you're going through it, the church hurts. But when it's okay to step back even and take it to God and say, this is hurting me. Yeah. Can something happen here? And understand that you are wounded, there is grace for you. The person who wounded you, there is grace for them as well. For as long as they are in Christ, let me also say that, because they are performers. They are performers, and there's no grace for the performers.
Yeah.
Or starting over. Did you ever, like, experience... Mm-mm. No, you did say.
No, let's go.
Did you not speak?
Let's move. I did. I share the same sentiments, really.
So we tackled the fear of starting over. When you're in that season of starting over, how do you, like, navigate it?
You know, also, and this may or may not answer your question, but I'm thinking also just the whole idea of leaving a life behind is a very scary thing.
Yeah.
Because you're not just leaving who you were behind. Mm. You're leaving the people that person loved and still loves to this day. But you're going to have to, leaving a whole life behind is scary. And beginning of a new one and risking losing the people whom you left behind as well. Because you're not leaving them and saying, hey, papa, nyanshiya la besho queen. You know what I'm saying? No, you're leaving them for now so that you can return and collect them.
That is very good.
But the chances that they will or will not come to.
That is very good.
Is also scary. That even in your ministry, God has given us the gift of freedom.
You will. Mm. You can't take everyone with you.
Can't take everyone.
That's so good, man, because that's the dynamic that sort of intimidate is not the word. So it faces all of us. Like, we're all faced with this one thing, mm-hmm. that we are commissioned to go to the same spaces that we were saved from. The friend you left at the club needs the grace that you have experienced. Mm-hmm. But the effectiveness of that transaction is how much God becomes real to you. Mm-hmm. You know, so I it's something that I think it's a message that I love to say, take care of separation. By all means, God must be real to you. Mm. Because people hear your life before they hear your words.
Mm-hmm.
What empowers our words, the weight of our words, is our lifestyle. So if there's a distinction between what we say and how we live, we only fool ourselves and the people we're trying to get to liberate. You know what I mean? So, that was a junction I was at, actually, where I insisted on God. I said, Lord, I'm feeling like this. I'm not fulfilled. I feel like I need somebody. Mm. Lord, I still have cravings. Mm. I still find myself in exactly the same spaces I resoluted not to be in. Mm-hmm. I can't preach like that.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to listen to my message when my life does not echo the same message your word does? And that's why we find that story, the sons of Sceva, in the Bible. The Bible says those people were beaten by demons. The demons asked them, who are you? They said, Jesus, we know. Yeah, we know Jesus lives well. He does what he says. Paul, we know. Mm. He lives well. Who are you? Mm. And that's why the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, the Bible says, I subject my body. I put it under discipline. So that I beat this body. Why? So that when I have preached, I am not disqualified.
Yeah. I nearly spoke in tongues.
So that I'm not disqualified.
Mm.
I don't want to preach a sermon that I have not lived.
Mm.
I'm not going to tell anybody about prayer that I have not lived. So that's the thing. We are called to him so that we go back to the world he called us from.
Yes. And that's scary.
It's scary. Oh.
Do you know how much Moses negotiated?
And the wilderness is tough, bruh. Because you see, and I usually make this example. It's funny, I'm sure, and the guys relate a lot. The example is this. There in the wilderness, you die to the lust of the eyes. So that when Onako is commissioned to Johannesburg and sees beauty, does not fall for it. There you die to the nice beard. That's your weakness.
Mm.
Or to the, what are you guys into? I don't know. Or to muscles. You die to a six-pack. You know, in the wilderness, you die to the six-pack so that when you are commissioned to those spaces and Satan thinks, her weakness is a six-pack, this one. We'll just put the guy there.
We'll just put the guy there.
So the wilderness is where the dying happens. If it's money that you love so much, there you die to it. So that when you come and they offer you money at the expense of your purity, you don't take it.
You don't take it.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a real one.
Yeah, it's a very serious one.
That's a real one.
Also, like, in going back, that's why I'm, you know, the person who comes to mind now is Moses. Mm. I think I'm also finding myself, you know, when at the burning bush, where he was saying, I can't speak. Like, what do you mean I must go back there? I can't speak. You know? And he was making all of these excuses. Who should I say sent me? Mm. You know what I'm saying? All of these questions are mostly pointing to a feeling of inadequacy.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And an uncertainty. Like, what am I going to do when I get there? So how am I going to show them that it is really you who sent me? He had so many questions. Mm. And I think also in this season, I'm not negotiating, but I'm saying, Lord, Mina,
Ow.
Angkwazi ukukhuluma, like, you know. Me, to the same people who are the reason why I left there, you know what I'm saying? The same people who I did something for them. I thought I was saving one of my own kind from, you know, the Egyptians. Then they pointed the finger at me. They're the reason I left Egypt in the first place. You said the same people who humiliated me, I must go and save? That's me. Right now, if I'm being very honest, it's like the reason why I know I've been delaying my own purpose. And my brother confronted me this morning about it. He said, "You can't. How long are you going to Jonah this thing? Like, how long are you going to run?" And it's that thing of having to go back to Egypt and say, you humiliated me, come, let's go to the kingdom of heaven. But I trust him.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing. Trusting him, remembering his teachings.
Yeah.
And actually appreciating your anointing. Mm. I feel like if you don't have appreciation for your anointing, then you are not grateful. Mm. You know? And it's important to be grateful. You know, so if God gave you the gift, if God gave you the ability, you know, don't be afraid to say, "I'm a preacher." You are a preacher.
Yeah.
You know, you preach God's word. You know? Yeah. And you are a teacher. Yeah.
Mm.
You know, and I feel like that's what I was going through a lot last year, not wanting to take on that identity.
Mm.
You know, I remember there was a time Kyle was like, "No, people who preach God's word should live a life so that they sit at a certain standard."
Mm.
And I was like, "No, but we all sinners, no, but."
Yeah.
But now I see why.
Mm.
I understand why you have to live a life that is so distinct and so separate from the world, because that's how you make God real for the world.
Oh my goodness. Are you done? No, please finish. Are you done? I wanna leave you guys with this now. If I think this is heavy in my heart because I'm also here, right? You know, Moses, as you're saying, he leaves Egypt, he encounters his brother in fighting, right? Both Egyptians, Israelites, I mean, right? And then he tells them, "Yo, you guys are brothers, unite." And that's proof that this man had a burden, so much so that he could not stay in the palace. Mm. He could not stay with kings whilst his own people, the Bible says, suffered. Mm. You know. So when he leaves, he encounters two of his people fighting, and he speaks to them.
Mm.
He has a burden to say, "You cannot do this." Mm. But they look at him, and they demean what he's saying.
Mm.
He has no authority, no power to rule over them. In fact, that guy said, "You are not a judge over us." But if you remember correctly, his ordination was supposed to be a judge over Israel.
Mm.
He was actually born for that.
Mm.
But this Israel looks at him and says, "You're not." Why? Because Moses had not encountered the burning bush.
Mm.
Moses had not journeyed into the wilderness.
Mm.
So sometimes what empowers our burdens to save those we left behind is not what we're saying.
Mm.
It's what we experience with him.
That's what we
So the power to get these people out was in Moses meeting up with God, not in him feeling bad that he left. Because he tried and we saw, but it was ineffective because he had not met him. That's why we really just insist on God. Like, "Lord, help us. If you don't help me, if Moses does not meet with the burning bush, he's futile. Like, it means nothing to the generation that needs liberty."
And with what you're saying, remember when you're scared of, like, what will people say?
Yeah, yeah.
Something just came to my mind now, and it's like, those are the people you need, because those are the witnesses.
Mm.
Those are the ones who are witnesses. The what makes God real, what makes Jesus real, what makes the word real, what makes everything real is that there's always been witnesses. Mm. People have witnessed God change people.
Mm.
People have witnessed God change Peter, change Paul. You know, change all these people. There's a need for those people.
Yes.
Those people to point fingers and say, "Marawena, you were this. Marawena, you did that." Those are your witnesses. Those are the people who will testify your life. Because they will say, "We saw you walk in this light. We saw you walk in this way. But look at who the man he is now." That is a man who has encountered God. Even if they are unbelievers, they are still witnesses.
Right.
Thank you so much for gracing us with your presence on this couch.
Thank you very much. Yo,
you don't know how grateful we are and how grateful our audience must be. This is like the most we've ever spoken about Christ in an episode.
Yeah.
And funny enough, none of the talking points, none of everything is centered on him. But you can see how prevalent he is in our lives, that he's everywhere.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'd just like to say thank you so much.
Thank you so
Please
much.
Come back. Keep your promises.
We're not asking you any
man of your word.
Like, we just need to know.
Be a man of your word.
We've got witnesses. So.
Yeah, we have
witnesses. I see what you did there.
Yeah, any last remarks you want to leave them with?
I think I'm going to say thank you to you guys. I mean it. I'm not saying, you know, sometimes people say nice things because, yeah, I'm not saying that to buy faces, but yeah. I'm genuinely encouraged. I think I was going to say this to you after we're done. Genuinely encouraged by the work that God is doing in you because it always shows. There's always a disparity in people speaking because someone who talks without the experience, you can always tell. Mm. But you guys are really in the journey and it shows. Mm. And to me, that's proof that Jesus still changes lives. So I am like, thank you. I had to change that flight. I had to be here, man. So thank you guys. Thank you. Well, I don't think that's my job, but thank you,
Jesus. No, we're rotating. Yeah.
Everybody,
it is your job now. You're part of the
It was conversation. I'm you were hosting. Over.
Yeah. Okay. For her shit, our thanks, but I'll say thanks again. On behalf of Thought Digest, on behalf of the Jesties who are watching, we are completely honored by the anointing that is over you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for speaking through you as well. And we can't wait also for you to return. And we can't wait for you to carry on, man. Like, send us the posters, please.
Yes. I can't believe you are here. You are preaching a job. And we didn't get a new vibe. We didn't get an invite.
I see you on the poster.
And we didn't get it personally.
Stop, guys.
We didn't get it personally.
Hey.
Hey, Mia, I don't know, guys.
Grab your own ear. Say, if I.
It's crazy.
But thank you guys so much for watching. We're going to have an additional chit-chat on memberships, which is no longer R149.99. It is now R39.99. And we're just going to be yapping over there. So you're definitely gonna want to tune in. It's always a chill conversation, very candid. So the things that we didn't get to speak about in this episode, the really, really personal and specific things we didn't get to mention here, we talk about it all the way over on memberships. On the last Monday of every month, we will be going live on TikTok to rehash all the episodes that we have had over that particular month. And I think by the time this comes out, we'll be doing February's last Monday live. So please tune in to that. It will be the same time as Thought Digest usually drops, but just going live on TikTok. And feel free to join. Also, ask us questions on the live. That's what the point of the live, to engage with you guys. And you can interrogate us on things that we said. When he comes back, you'll interrogate him. You know what I'm saying? And all the guests that are going to be on this couch. But please share your love down below. What emojis should they put in the comment section? Choose your favorite emoji.
That one crying. That one.
Wow. If you made it this far into the video, please put a crying emoji so that we know you're a real one from day one. Do you want to give our cues?
Subscribe, like, comment, share, and enjoy. Bye-bye.
See you guys. Bye.